Bible with you today. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 1, covering some of the details from our drama this morning. But Luke chapter 1, we'll be looking at verses 26 to 38 together. While you're turning there, a couple of prayer requests. Please continue to pray for Luke Petty, who has been struggling with seizures and looking for a diagnosis. Continue to pray for Luke and his family. Also, we do have a praise. We had 257 shoeboxes were collected for Operation Christmas Child this year. I just think that's huge. 257. Fantastic. And also, I know we like numbers, but all we can tell you is the food drive was very successful. They didn't count bags or anything else, but again, a lot of people were helped with the food drive. So thanks for your help with that. And then finally, we have three white roses on the stage this morning, and those come from our Chinese community from a couple of weeks ago. Three folks made commitments to Christ, so that's awesome as well. I don't usually think about illness as being a major issue for somebody in their 20s, but I do know from experience, even here at our church, that, of course, it can strike at any point. You can have those kinds of physical challenges just about at any point in your walk. Well, William Chatterton Dix was only 28 years old when he was struck down with this debilitating, potentially fatal illness. And when he wrote his story later, he talked about the reality that was during that time when he was just reflecting on his life and life in general, that he had something of a spiritual awakening. He was a musician and an artist. And so during his recovery, he wrote songs and he was also doing poetry. And so at 28 years of age in 1865, he wrote these words. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? You know the rest, don't you? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him laud, the babe, the son of Mary. And so we're going to, through the next few weeks as we head up to Christmas, we're going to use the scripture that inspired that song to kind of look deeper into the whole Christmas story and to understand, as Cheryl's drama did this morning, more of where it was coming from, more of why it impacts us in such a deep way. But for today, what child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? I'm going to invite you to stand as we read our opening portion of scripture, Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to a town in Galilee to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be," Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. You can go ahead and have a seat. I was updating my password recently for some online site. I don't know about you guys, but, you know, after about 35 or 40 passwords, I can't keep them straight. And they try to use different ones. It's like, right, yeah, like I'm going to be able to remember all these. And so it was basically asking me, here are some questions that we will ask you if you forget your password. And it shouldn't say if. It should say when you forget your password. Or if, when you get locked out of our site, here are some security questions. And so one of the questions was, what kind of reading do you enjoy the most? So I'm going down through and it's listing all these things, you know, and I'm looking at all of them. I couldn't find anything that said nonfiction. I'm just not a real big fiction reader. And so it had all these different genres listed. And finally, I got to one that said biographies. And so I thought, okay, that's nonfiction. And I do like a good biography. I told you guys about the book Unbroken that I read last year, I think, about Louis Zamperini and his experiences in the Olympics and also as a World War II prisoner of war. Just a great book. But I know some of you read biographies like crazy, so I don't really do that. But it was the closest thing I could find. So I clicked on biographies. But I got thinking about it. And you know, it really is true that much of the Bible is written like a running biography of people who have some kind of a close encounter with God, who have some kind of an interaction or intersection in their life with God. It really is written kind of like a running biography. Just think of the very first chapters of Scripture. We were introduced to Adam and Eve and their family and all the things that unfolded in their lives, all the way to the book of Revelation, where we read about those churches like Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea. It's very much like a running biography. Then I got thinking some more. It's getting dangerous at this point for me to think this much. All right? But I realized, and I got to be honest, maybe for the first time, that the reason the Christmas account that we're given in Scripture is so poignant and indeed so impactful in my life is because we basically get many biographies of several people who were right in the middle of Jesus' birth. I think that's what pulls us in. We get all the details, we get all the theology, we get all of those realities of that first Christmas, but it's these people's lives around Jesus so many times helps us to see what God was doing. Now, Mary was clearly one of those central figures, wasn't she? Right in the middle of the story. And I realize that there are many opinions about her today. Some have elevated her to a place where they say that she was sinless, or that they even offer prayers to Mary now. And then there are other people that actually don't even like you to talk about Mary because of that, because they're afraid that maybe people would be drawn away from Christ to think about His mother. But what do we know from Scripture? All right, let's think about that. What does the Bible tell us about Mary? What is her biography? Well, for today, I just want to look at four quick ideas straight from the passage that we've already read. Okay, we're not going to spend a lot of time on each one, but just a little bit about Mary's life. Think about these truths with me. First of all, Mary was a woman of character. I think you can glean that very easily, and not just the one passage we read this morning, but throughout the Christmas narrative in Scripture, Mary was a woman of character. Now listen, there were all kinds of people written about in the Bible, okay? You can't take this for granted. There are kings and there are queens. There are commoners and there are servants in Scripture. There are leaders and there are followers. There are upright and there are godly people that are portrayed in Scripture, but there are murderers and swindlers and prostitutes. I mean, this is, you read through Scripture and you have every example, but I believe if you read all the accounts of Mary, you'll agree with me, she was a woman of high character. And I want to just show you one example from our opening Scripture. Okay, Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Our Christmas series comes at a very interesting time in our nation, doesn't it? Anybody heard of any scandals that have been going on lately? Literally, from sea to shining sea? Isn't that exactly what's going on? People in all kinds of life, all walks of life right now are being exposed. And a lot of what we're seeing is because of sexual improprieties. I mean, everything dating from 30 to 40 years ago to, you know, last month. And we're reading these stories every day. And I'm going to tell you something. The church at large has not been exempt from some of these challenges as well. I'm sure that we all understand that. So it might be easy kind of to say, well, Mary didn't live in a day when that was just so common. You know, like you didn't see it everywhere. And yet, walk through Jesus' teaching. How many times did he have to teach about the idea of sexual purity? And some of the challenges that were in people's lives because they weren't living pure lives in these kinds of areas. So here we're introduced to a woman named Mary. She was basically engaged, betrothed, and clearly the Scripture states in several instances that she had kept her sexual purity waiting for that day when she and Joseph would be one. And so we back up and we have to realize as the Christmas narrative unfolds that one of the reasons God chose Mary was because she was a woman of character. She was a woman that was doing it right. She could have chosen any path with her life, but she chose to remain pure. We can know that about her. Now, the second thing we know kind of flows right with that in many ways, and that's simply this. Mary was close to God. And maybe in some ways you see how often that is indeed a narrative that runs together, because how hard is it? Nearly impossible to live a life of character without God in your life and working with you towards that. In fact, what does the psalmist say? How can a young person keep his way pure? Do you remember the answer? By living according to God's Word. I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And so, yeah, it's straight from Scripture. Walk close to God if you want to live a pure life. Listen to the message the angel brought to Mary. I love this. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Wouldn't that be amazing to have somebody say to you, "The Lord is with you"? You know, hopefully you would say back to them, I know, yeah, that's been my experience. But this is a confirmation from an angel. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. She's kind of thinking, where are we going with this? Verse 30, but the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." I want to stop and get away from the story for just a minute and ask you to think about a time in your life when you invested a great deal of time and effort with someone, okay, and you saw that that led to a very close relationship. I just want to give you one very quick example that I thought of. For me, when I started working as the youth pastor at Community Church of Greenwood, I just fell in love with that church body. I mean, this was a church far from perfect, but these people loved the Lord. I really loved the staff that I was working with. And over the course of several years, became very close with Pastor Charles, who was the founding pastor of CCG. He's been here, was here last year to preach for us. I know many of you know him personally. And so it really became kind of a habit that every Thursday morning on our day off, we would go play racquetball. And sometimes there'd be other people that would join us as well. And so one morning we were playing racquetball and there came a knock on the door and we had to go to the phone before the day of cell phones where you couldn't get away from everything. And it was basically the senior care facility calling, telling Charles that his dad did not wake up that morning. He had passed away in his sleep. So Charles asked me to go with him. And I went with him and we got his dad, took care of all the details and everything. And then Charles asked me something that just absolutely floored me. He said, "Would you do my dad's funeral?" You know, and I thought, oh, there are all kinds of people of a lot bigger recognition, a lot better speakers, all those kinds of things that he could have asked. But he asked me to do his dad's funeral. That still just blows me away. I think maybe his medication was messed up at the time or something. I'm not sure. But I wish I could describe how blessed and how honored I felt to be asked to do something like that. Here an angel comes to Mary, okay, approaches her. Mary has clearly spent time with God on a regular basis. She was living her life for him. And now the angel tells her that God is with her. He was present in her life. There was no question about it. It was a relationship. Then he told her that she'd found favor with God. Now, what a boost of confidence, right? It would boost my confidence. It's the heavenly messenger telling her this. And so God had seen all that she had done to strive to keep a relationship with him right. She had found favor with him. And now God had an incredible job for her. It's clear, isn't it? That grew out of the closeness of relationship that they had. Now, this third thing we know about Mary, I really hope that we can grasp onto this, because this is where you kind of squelch all that idea of elevating Mary too high. Because number three, Mary was just like us. Okay? She really was. That's why I like having Cheryl portray her, because most of us know Cheryl. That's just Cheryl. Yeah. And Mary was just like us. I told you about the breakthrough experience I had with Charles' funeral. I had another harrowing experience with Pastor Charles. I also did his older daughter's, I co-officiated his older daughter's wedding and did the premarital counseling for it as well. My wife said to me one day, "You realize if that marriage doesn't go real well, who's going to get the blame, don't you?" Yeah, I thought, thanks, honey. Just telling you, all right? But in both of those cases, I was honored to do those things, but you know what? I was a nervous wreck. I was. That was a lot of pressure. At least I felt that way. I think that's human nature, and Mary really was no different. It comes through in the story so well. Imagine all the thoughts that are racing through her mind. If I was nervous about doing a wedding, think about Mary realizing she's going to raise the Son of God, right? In fact, I think that's why in the one story later on in the Gospels, when they misplace Jesus in the temple, you know, you can almost sense some panic in there. What do you tell God, right? God, about that boy you gave me. You know where he is, bring him to me. I mean, that's about what the prayer would have to be. But look again at what happened. Luke chapter 1, verse 29. Mary was greatly troubled, wondered what kind of greeting it would be. The angel tells her she's found favor with God. She's going to conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. Now, look at everything that the angel tells her about Jesus. This is powerful. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. That's a huge deal. And he will reign over Jacob's descendants for how long? Imagine this now. So we're talking eternity. That's a pretty long time. And his kingdom will never end. Now, at this point, Mary could have said, wow, this guy must be, what is going on? But what does Mary say? How can this be since I'm a virgin? Okay? Do you get it? I mean, Mary is just like us. She hears these amazing things that God's going to do. And then it's, how am I involved in this? How could I do that? I mean, it's a valid question. In fact, the angel goes on and explains to her. We're going to talk about that here in just a second. But the reality is her first thought was herself. All the thoughts were going through her mind. And I hope you can see that honestly. She was no different than the rest of us, trying to live her life for God, living closely to Him. But in the end, some of the same challenges and questions, all the decisions that she had faced, she was just like us. So Mary was a woman of character. She was close to God. She was just like us. But then the fourth point, I think, is where we really understand her role in Jesus' birth. Mary was available and obedient. She was available and obedient. The closeness of that relationship with God, I think, really shone through in her response to the angel. All this unfolded very quickly, didn't it? But look at the response. Chapter 1, verse 35. The angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." See, even as Mary said, "I don't understand this," the angel didn't chastise her for that. The angel says, "Okay, let me explain it to you." Verse 36. Here's the illustration he gives her. Even Elizabeth is going to have a child in her old age. She wasn't supposed to be able to have children, but now she's in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. Now, if she's close to God, she knows that, doesn't she? So what's her response? "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Now, do you think Mary didn't have any more questions at that point? Do you think there was still maybe some lingering fear, even though the angel told her, "Do not be afraid"? Again, put yourself in her shoes, because she was like us, and yet she was available and she was obedient. I think that's the character of Mary. You know, I love Christmas. I really do. Not just because of all the decorations and the presents and the food and all that good stuff. But I do think that we learn so much from these narratives that we've been given. We see so many biographies of those who are around Jesus. And if we can look at them that way, that these are the true stories of how the Savior came into the world, then you begin to be inspired by the reality of what happens when you do God's will, when you live out God's will in your life. And so here's the question for this morning. Okay? This Christmas, is it possible that God is calling you to do something? Is that a possibility? Yeah, these are stories from 2,000 years ago, but the reality is, God's still at work, isn't He? Is Jesus still on the throne? Absolutely, we read it, forever. So what is God calling you to do this Christmas? Now let's back up and think about the story. Maybe it's just to start the process of becoming a person of integrity and character. Maybe you've never worked on that before. God's telling you, step out of your safety zone. I'm there with you every step of the way. Let's get this thing going. Maybe it's to further your relationship with Him. We read that Mary was close to God, and you say, you know, I really want that. I want to be closer to God. Maybe that's what He's calling you to. Maybe He has something specific in mind. Very specific, something He wants you to do. And He's asking, are you available? Maybe all the questions won't be answered when you say yes. Are you going to be obedient? I'm not sure what all that's going to mean. Okay. Are you available? Will you be obedient? You see, here's the key for our message today. And I just loved how this came through as I studied the story. All right. Christmas is not about Mary, is it? It's not about Mary. Who's it about? Easy question. I heard the child's voice, and a child shall lead them. Either that or Marta's throne or voice. Jesus. That's really what it's all about. So we're going to be singing this song and looking at some of the lyrics. What child is this? It's not about Mary's lap. That's kind of a cool line because you do realize this is life. This is a mother with Jesus on her lap. But who's the song about? It's about Jesus. We're going to close with one of my favorite Christmas songs, with one of my favorite singers. Michelle Pruitt's going to come and she's going to sing, Mary, Did You Know? You know what? The song's not about Mary. I want to challenge you with that as you listen to it. The song's about Jesus. We know that Mary had to know some of these things because the angel told her who Jesus was going to be. But listen to the lyrics and understand. This is about Jesus. Who is this? Who is it that God has sent? So even as you listen to these words, ask yourself that question. What might God be calling me to do this Christmas? Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Christmas. Thank You for the truth that we find in these narratives in the Gospels. Thank You for the biographies that You've given us that teach us what it means to follow You and in some instances what it means to turn our backs on You. And then, Lord, help us, I pray, through this Christmas season to realize that we right now are watching our biographies unfold. Our stories will be told to future generations. So help us to realize that right now, as we work on that character that You would have for each one of our hearts and lives, that as we walk closely with You as closely as possible, that yes, even though we're human, and even though we have questions, and even though there are just all these issues that surround us, the reality is we can choose to be available and obedient to You. So, Father, as we close today, I'd just like to be quiet for just a minute or two. Let each person who's willing to ask this of You to say, Lord, what would You have for me this Christmas? What would You have me do? Who would You have me to be? Father, in the quietness of this room, may Your Holy Spirit speak to each of us for this minute. And finally, Father, I thank You today that You never call us to do something, that You just send us out on our own. You are always with us. Your presence and Your Spirit lead and guide us. So as You call us to be Your children today in this world, as our biographies unfold, help us to remember it's in Your strength that we do it, not in ours. For Lord, if we can keep that in mind, then we're going to understand there is going to be victory at the other end of the path. No matter how that looks, it's going to bring You glory. And for that, we praise You again today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, if you're here this morning and you'd like somebody to pray with you, you've got some issues going on, or you feel God calling you to do something, you just need somebody to pray with you, go through the door under the exit sign and turn left. There'll be people that'll be glad to pray with you before you leave. You're dismissed. Make it a great Lord's Day.